Last week in the installment, it was all about learn like tributes. Imagine if I'm about to step into the arena and my life depends on how well I learn and train. Could you imagine how I would pay attention? You know, imagine now if this was evasive skills. Could you imagine how I would like be all eyes and ears? Because I would preferably not want to be riddled with daggers and bows and bullet holes, right? So I would really pay attention. We also suggested that we should learn like toddlers, because there's something about a toddler, you know, they imitate, they ask questions, they imagine, they even unfazed if they fail. I mean, they'll just walk and fall and walk and fall. I mean, if you were really smart as an adult, you'd never walk. The child would never walk. You're like, dude, that's far too like dangerous. I'm just going to sit. I'm going to stand. I'm going to stay in my cot, you know, and wait for someone to throw a brick on my head or something, because it's way too dangerous. And before you know it, toddlers take something that they learn and they act on it. And they don't give up. They persist. They're like, no, I don't want that thing, or I'm going to do this thing. And finally, they just have fun while they're learning. Maybe it's hard sometimes in class. I don't know if your week at school this week felt like training for the Hunger Games for like a real event. Maybe it wasn't as inspiring, but I hope there were those moments of like, hey, this is going to help me. You know, this really is going to help me. So today we're going to look at fire for loving. And to give you a hint about where we're going, here's a little movie that I made. I'll never forget the day that I was visiting a lady friend. And I looked up and I saw the most beautiful woman I've ever seen in my life. She had the longest black hair. I mean, it came right down to like right down, you know. She just walked like she wasn't actually making contact with the ground. She was like floating. And she was just stunning beyond words. And I turned and said to my lady friend, "Who is that?" And she said, "You wouldn't be interested in her. That's just Debbie Austin, my neighbor." And I think my mind said, could I be the judge of that? 32 years later, that lady's still rather special and arguably still the most beautiful woman in the whole world. You know that moment, don't you? That moment of, hello there. Who's that? You know that. It's a little bit like this. It's like that, right? It's like that in the Croods, even when that girl in the Croods sees that guy and he's got that like weird like sort of like head thing on him. What are some of the questions I want you to figure out? If you don't know what kind of questions ask, maybe look to an expert next to you. I'm sure there's a guy sitting next to you. So Luke, maybe just turn to Mitch and say, Mitch, what are some of the questions that come to mind in that first moment when you see someone really special? Are there some questions that come to mind? Okay, so just somewhere where you are, lean across and ask, what are some of the questions that come to mind? Right, so while you're still thinking about that, I'm going to ask Zach if he'll come forward and share one question that would come to mind for him if he was the guy on that ship or in that bar. Right. What's your name? That's not a bad one, because does the name share something about the person? Yeah. Anyone else? Would she let me get to know her? Is she out of my league? When I edited the Titanic, I took out that section where the buddy says to him, like, I won't say what he said, but you don't have a snowball's hope, because she's in another class, you know. And I think my friend didn't really want me to go visiting next door. We weren't dating, so I wasn't cheating. But I wanted to judge and decide. I'm going to suggest a couple. Yes, there's another one from Tiboho. How much would the Lobola cost? Yes, there's a question. Do you like Harry Potter or Twilight or Hunger Games? Because let's face it, that decision is going to be the be-all and end-all. Futhi, how heavy is his wallet? I hope it's very light, because I would rather have plastic money than... Yes. How old is he or she? Because you don't want to be guilty of cradle snatching or like coffin grabbing, CK. Does he drink coffee? Because some of these things are deal breakers, right? It's deal breaker. How do I get a number without sounding cheesy or whatever? There's another hand over here. One last one. Yes. Okay, so she's going to be open to my feelings, receptive to my feelings. Can I put a couple questions that I think kind of come to mind? So you've kind of says like, who is that? Like, who is she? Okay, like, what's her, you know, what's her name? Where's she from? You know, is she alien or human, extraterrestrial? What have they done? Like, what are some of the things in the past, where they've been, because you're starting to get interested. What can they do for me? Let's face it. We're a bit selfish, aren't we, sometimes? What is this? Am I going to look good with them? And are they going to make me feel good? What will my friends think? You know what I mean? They're like, dude, what are you doing? Like, have you lost your marble? We're going to do an intervention. We don't want them to be thinking that sort of thing. And what can I do for them? Because at some point, we start to realize, oh, yeah, love isn't selfish, right? And so maybe there's some stuff happening. So it's no secret that we're drawing fairly heavily from the Hunger Games, right? And we get this kind of thing happening. And I know I'm going to be a bit simplistic today with a very complex plot, thanks to Suzanne Collins. But I want to show you that along the way in the Hunger Games, those same questions certainly come up. And the first one is, who is he? Now, obviously, we're taking it from Katniss's perspective, so it's a girl, and this is the first time
she sees her. Boys.
Different kind of arranged relationship, don't you think? Maybe to what might happen in India, for example. But immediately she realizes, like, this is the baker's son. Okay, hopefully this is not a mass murderer, someone that's going to kill me the moment I shut my eyes or look away, unless they're in the arena. Who knows what actually happens there?
Was getting a little bit of.
So the backstory is that he burns that bread on purpose, gets like a thrashing from his mum, just so that he can pass some bread on to someone who's really needy. That sounds like a person that you want to invest your life in, someone who's done something really significant, the boy with bread, right? There's another level that starts to happen, like, well, what has he done? You know, what are his abilities? What can he actually do? This is really important if when you've just met that person, you're going to jump into a ring where your life depends on them the next day, into an arena. So store this away for when that happens. So you would like someone who can care for you and provide for you, all right? You would like someone who's able to pick up something heavy and throw it across the room to kill. You know what I mean? Well, it helps if you're a baker's son and you've been carrying huge big bags of flour on your shoulders. Turns out that you're pretty buff. I mean, pretty much like me. I think I'm the buffest guy in this whole room. I can't see a guy that's more buff than me. I mean, Zach is trying, but Zach, you've got quite a way to go. And
I hear you can shoot.
I'm all right.
She's better than all right. My father buys her squirrels. He says she hits him right in the eye every time.
Pete is strong.
What?
He can throw a 100-pound sack of flour right over his head. I've seen it.
Okay, well, I'm not going to kill anybody with a sack of flour.
No, but you might have a better chance of winning if somebody comes after you with a knife.
I have no chance of winning. None. All right?
You don't forget the face of the person who was your last hope. He didn't just give her bread. He gave her hope. Hope in the midst of a very difficult
so
circumstance.
So, Pete, tell me. Is there a special girl back home?
No, not really.
No. I don't believe it for a second. Look at that face, handsome man like you. Peter, tell me.
Well, there's this one girl that I've had a crush on forever. But I don't think she actually recognized me until the reaping.
Well, I'll tell you what, Peter. You go out there and you win this thing. And when you get home, she'll have to go out with you. Right, folks?
Thanks, but I don't think winning's gonna help me at all.
And why not?
Because she came here with me.
Well, that's bad luck.
Yeah, it is.
That's very bad luck, don't you agree? I mean, that's a question you should ask. Are you about to be chosen for the Hunger Games? You know what I mean? Like when you meet someone? Because, and if you're the other person, you know that you're going to have to kill her at some point. So what can he do? Can you think of her thinking like, well, if I'm going to be with this guy, what are some of the things that he can do? Well, you know what? If the whole point of the games is to stay alive, maybe he can help me. Maybe he can have my back and protect me. And in fact, on at least one occasion, he actually just does save her life. You know that part where she's running away? There's that group of people trying to like get to her. She's up in a tree and they're shooting at her. They're missing. She cuts down those like interesting B-type mutant generated things that are being created. And this is what it looks like. Maybe he'll make sacrifices for me. Maybe he'll be willing to save me and even give his own life, maybe. Hey, that's a good guy to live with. Just maybe he'll always love me. Let's face it, isn't that kind of what we want? We always want the person to love us no matter what. Just maybe he would stay with me long term. Maybe there's been other relationships that haven't gone the distance, but maybe this could be the one. And who knows? Maybe if there's a third book ever written, we'll get a hint that maybe we would grow old together and he will love my children. Who knows? But you know, at some point, you've got to deal with the fact that I need to be doing something as well. As I've started by saying this morning, that love is not selfish. It might start selfish, but it certainly doesn't end there. What can I do for the other person is always in our mind. Well, there is a parallel to this. I'm sure you've seen it by now. There's this greater love story, this greater, many times told, but maybe yet for me, not fully comprehended love story. A love story where I meet this individual, that question comes to mind, like in any other relationship. Hey, who is he? Who is he? Who is he that I can trust my life to? Is this someone that I can actually fall in love with? This he is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the one who is, who was, and who is to come. This one is the creator of every single thing that I see when I look around me. Yes, and things develop and things grow over time, but he's the originator. He is the creator. He has made both things under the sea and the birds that fly, the stuff that runs around on the ground, yes, even the warthog for some weird reason, and the rhino with those bizarre bumps. He is the one who ultimately made, fashioned, it seems to imply, shaped in his own form and likeness, human beings. Let us make human beings in our image to be like us. It's this being that stepped out of eternity into space and time at a certain point of time, and even wise men from the East, not sort of Bible-believing guys, but guys came from the East saying, where is this one who's been born king? This person is the kindest person who ever lived. I want that to sink in for a moment. There has never been a kinder person. You might think Mother Teresa was kind, but this person, this one, is the kindest person you've ever met. If you've experienced this God and a relationship with him, who is he? Who is he to you? And I want you to think of a word or phrase and rush up onto the top left quadrant there. Who is he? There's some chalk on the side. And put a word or a very short phrase. Who wants to kick us off with that? Who wants to share it out? Shout it out, and then you're welcome to go and write it up there. Anyone? Who is God? Kenan, who is God?
The beginning and the end.
Beginning and the end. You want to do the honors quick?
He's our Savior.
Savior.
God is the one who created us.
Creator. You want to hit that up there in the who is God section?
He's our King.
King.
He's loving.
Loving. Do you want to put it up there? Who else can think of something? Screaming at me. Who is he? Is he trustworthy? Maybe someone wants to say, he's not very caring. He doesn't always respond when I call out for help. This is a place where you can be like, honest. I've experienced something, and maybe it's because of stuff that's happened, but who is he? And maybe that's part of our lifelong quest. getting to know this God, who he is. And we're talking about essence, character, okay? And character and essence does come out in what someone has done. Implied in some of what was written even in that first block. There are some ideas that take us to the second question that says, okay, stop the bus a bit. What has he done? You know what I mean? What has he done in the past? Maybe for me, maybe for others, okay? And I mean, if I think about it for a moment, at very least, we get this incredibly profound scripture that says, this God so loved the world that he had created that he gave his only son. I think if I've got three sons, I might give up one because then I'd still have two to carry the family name. I wouldn't give up if I had two, one, because then the other one might have kidney failure and not go the distance or something. I don't even know if I'd give up one. In fact, I'm not sure. I don't think so. Maybe if I had 12. I mean, how many do you think we need to have before it's just, it's just kids. It's just lots of children. Do you think a mother would think like that? I don't think so. Not on this side of eternity. But this God is. I mean, what has this God done? Who wants to think of something really creative? What can you think, Futhi, or someone by you? What has God done?
He has saved us from our sins.
Nice. You can write that up there. Who else wants to put something? What has God done?
He's forgiven us.
He's forgiven us. Gave his life. He died so that we could actually have this intimate relationship. Would you just hit that up there? Anyone else? Has he done anything else? I reckon that's about it. No, he gave us? Authority.
He gave us his only son.
He did what I don't think I could do. Would you hit that up there? Ayanda. Apart from him healing you since Friday night, nice to have you with us.
He has done a miracle in my own life has been a miracle and a testimony of what he's done.
Those of us who know something of your story know that that's our big amen. So if you want to put up that, he does miracles. Puts the lonely in families. He's amazing. Starting to get the idea that this God that I've seen across the room, and I'm starting to discover something about it, has done amazing things. When did he do this to us? I mean, basically, if Peter's going to tell his story to his kids one day, well, basically, from about age 5, I stalked your mum and gave her bread at one point. We're in the games where we had to kill each other, and we didn't. We nearly committed suicide, and now we're happily married. Well, there is that Gail thing, but let's not go there this week. I'm avoiding that whole issue, okay? While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So actually, while I was a hater, while I was shaking my fist at this guy, he was just, I'm not interesting. I'm not interested in you. He's like, it's okay. I'm still dying for you. There's no greater joy than to lay down one's life for one's friend. No greater love. There isn't a greater love than to say, I'm willing to die for you. And this is the one who says, I love you more than words could ever know. More than you could ever know. There is no ways that you would ever comprehend my love for you. This is what I am and what I do. The third question that we saw that was around was, at some point, what can he do for me? Sounds selfish, but it's a real question. You know, I'm going to give my life into this relationship. What can he do? I heard of an amazing story this week that actually didn't sound like a human story, but it sounded like something out of the Bible. I know it wasn't because I heard it in a coffee shop. So has anyone ever had God come and do like a miraculous intervention in and around school and decisions? And yeah, Damien, what has God done? I chatted this week and I'm sure you want to share that example.
So I went to Australia the December holiday because I want to go to university there. And we looked at the criteria to what I must do to get in there according to, you know, the percentages of each subject. And I went back to, you know, South Africa, I came back to South Africa, and I realized, okay, listen, there's like two subjects that isn't high enough. And I thought to myself, okay, if I can change the one subject, I can have enough time for the next one. So I, you know, negotiated with my dad, and he said, no, it's fine. And my mom wasn't budging at all, because it's like an important subject. And if I change it, it can close a lot of doors. So I said, okay, listen, it's my decision, it's my life, I can do what I want, type of thing, you know. And so she said, okay, no, you know what, if you really want to, you can, but just make sure it's what God wants. So, you know, Sunday night, you know, just chilling in the room, listening to music, and I just, okay, what the hell, let's just pray and just make sure. And I said, okay, listen, God, if I like dream about the subject that I want to leave, I will then take it, because, you know, if it is what you want me to do, I will do it. And then I said, but if I do not dream about it, then, you know, I'm going to leave it. So now I'm hoping my heart, you know, I don't dream about the subject, because otherwise I will have to take it. And then the next morning I woke up, and I'm like, okay, well, I can't remember what I dreamed, so that's probably, I can take the subject, you know, you can leave it. So yeah, then I just decided to leave the subject, and yeah, didn't have any regrets.
Thank you. And it kind of reminded me when he shared it this week about that Gideon story, right? When he did that fleece thing, you know, and he said, God, if this sheep's fleece, fortunately, Damon, you don't have to kill a cow or a sheep or something. I mean, call me over for a bra if you do ever. But like, and the fleece wasn't wet the one night and was the next. This is the God who can do amazing things. This is the God who is greater than the evil one. And if I'm going to be walking into danger, this God can deliver me just like that. I remember one day when a guy came at me with a knife. I wasn't quite sure what to do. He was a little bit inebriated or drunk. And I said, in the name of Jesus, stop. And it seemed like he hit a brick wall and the knife fell. And he said, I wasn't quite sure what I was about to do. And I was like, quite glad that he had forgotten what he was about to do. The power of God, his ability to intervene and to save us. This scripture came to mind, that I am the Lord your God who directs you in the way you should go. And I think he was directing you directing you in the way that you should go, through dreams, through people that might come and speak, through Bible verses, and that sort of thing. For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. This is the one who's going to give you hope for the future. And we saw last week that the only thing stronger than fear is hope, right? Thanks to President Snow, I guess. I wonder if you can think of anything that can belong in that quadrant. What can God do? What can God do for you? So as you consider moving into a relationship with God, what are some of those things that you've heard or you think could be expected? Who wants to shout something out and stick it up on the wall? What does God have the ability to do? Change people's mindsets. Nice. So when you're at the end and you have nothing left, there's that strength that comes. So he can give you strength in that moment. You want to write that up there, Bella? Nice. Transform our lives. Sean? Comfort. In the midst of a week when your grand passes on. Hey, how much do you need comfort in that moment? How much do you need to be a comfort to your granddad and stuff? Has God done that this week? Honestly. No, you're not just pretending. You're not just like, it's been the worst week of my life. God wasn't there. Sucks to be me because God doesn't care. He was there. That's a testimony. That is like, whoa. Was it still sad? Does God take away feelings? I hope God never takes away feelings. Also hope God doesn't kill people the moment they think something wrong, because I won't make it to Tuesday. I'm happy for God's grace that sometimes he gives us a moment, an opportunity to just like, to be, okay? To think those hard thoughts. Anyone else? What can God do? Is there maybe one more thing? I think we're probably at the bottom. I think we've got four. I don't think God is, he's not like all powerful, is he? He's not all knowing or wise. He's not omnipotent. Oh wait, he is, isn't he? I've got you on the spot. God can save us when we're on the spot. Write that over there. Write that up there. When I'm on the spot and I don't know what to say. So when we're doing something for him, he can come alongside and support us, encourage us, give us power, if you can put that up there. Okay? I want to ask God and man if they would come forward onto the stage, if I could have God and man on the stage now. Thank you very much.
God, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Promise you won't get mad?
I promise.
Why did you let so much stuff happen to me today?
Well, what do you mean?
Well, I woke up late.
Yes, you did.
Of course you know that. My car took forever to start.
Okay.
At lunch, they made my sandwich wrong and I had to wait.
Mm.
On the way home, my phone went dead just as I was about to receive a call.
All right.
And to top it off, when I got home, all I wanted to do was soak my feet in my new foot massage and relax. But it wouldn't work. Nothing today went right. Why did you do that?
Well, let me see. The angel of death was at your bed this morning, and I'd send one of my angels.
Oh.
To battle him with your life. So, and I let you sleep through that.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't let your car start because there's a drunk driver on your route that would have crashed into you and killed you. And the first person who made your sandwich today, well, he was sick and I didn't want you to catch what they had, so I knew you couldn't afford to miss work.
Oh.
And, oh yeah, your phone went dead because that person who was going to give you a call was going to lie about you and going to give false witness, so I didn't get to even talk to them.
I see, God.
Yeah, and, the foot massager. It had a faulty circuit, and it was going to throw out all the power in your house, so I didn't want you to be in the dark all night.
I'm sorry, God.
Don't be sorry. Just learn to trust me. In all things, the good and the bad.
I will trust you.
And don't doubt my plan for your day is always better than your plan.
I won't, God. And let me tell you, God, thank you for everything today.
You're welcome, child. It is just another day being your God, and I love looking after my children.
Thanks.
Have you ever had those moments where you think, where's God? You know, what's he doing? Why is he not immediately just waving his magic wand? You know, like Harry Potter would do. He's at work. He's there. He's doing stuff bigger than we realize. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people, look, get this, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of God. There's really no other dimensions. God's love is without understanding because it says, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. It's actually the love that almost can't be fully known or comprehended. It's a lifetime journey of getting to know this love. And as I'm moving in toward this relationship deep and deep with God, at some point I start to realize, you know what? What can I do now for God? What is my response going to be? And yes, it's moving toward God, but it's also moving towards people. It's also taking what God's given me and passing it on to others, maybe with a word of encouragement or knowledge or healing or just a word of life and hope as I share with someone who doesn't know this God and I'm helping to introduce them to experience with God. I wonder for you, what do you think you could do in response to all that, who God is, what he's done, what he can do? What is one thing for you that you can do toward God in return? Yes. Faith. Believe in him. You want to hit that on that bottom left quadrant. Appreciate him. Nice. Thanks. Open towards him. Honest. Open. Yeah, Tanita. Follow his plan. Okay. Serve. That's a great way. Trust him. Talk to him. Spend time with him behind the scenes. I'm reminded of, what was that album by Lecrae, When the Music Stops? You know, do I still do this? So is it just about the stage? Am I doing it when the eyes on me? So, you know, communicate with him when no one's actually watching me. And this, I think the order is important because as I get to know him, realize what he's done in that and form a relationship with him, the outworking is to do this last quadrant stuff. I don't do this last quadrant stuff to earn his love. None of this stuff actually earns me brownie points with God. We're not talking about Girl Guides here or Boy Scouts. You know, I can't actually make God love me more. His love is like unsurpassable. But when I'm in love with something, if I'm married to the most beautiful woman in the world. I want to do things that please her, right? And so I plan on taking her to a exotic island in 2 weeks' time, Waiheke, off the island of New Zealand, and I'm going to make sure that we have the time of our lives because I love my wife. Okay? Now, fortunately, I'm going to marry my sister, her niece, do the marriage ceremony, so there's an opportunity to go because it's not cheap to go to Waiheke. But we are going to experience that. That's not going to be like, in order to make my wife love me, I'm taking her to an exotic island. No, no, no. Because I love her in return, that seems like something that we should be doing. I respond in gratitude and love to God. So maybe the question is whether you know God. Do you know God? You know what I mean? Maybe I could ask it like this. You know, do you actually love him? It's like, well, no, I've got someone else I'm in love with at the moment, and she's in grade 9. You know, do you love God? Do you? And maybe there's a few messages today. It's like, maybe some of us need to stop running from him. Catch me if you can. I'm playing catches, God. I'm playing, like, maybe hide and go seek. Like, maybe some of us need to stop hiding from God. God's like, dude, you can't really hide from me because I'm all-seeing, all-knowing. I'm everywhere. Jonah tried to hide. He landed up hiding in the belly of a whale. Not a nice place to be if you don't have a plastic suit on. Remember that for next time you're running away from God. And maybe for some of us, it's like to stop hating on God. Maybe something really bad happened, but you just to say, I wonder if I can play that tape again and remember this experience this morning where God protected a man, Warwick, and ensured that there was a life and a future for him. And maybe some of us need to stop cheating on God. And maybe we just need to love God back. Say, God, I'm going to receive your love. I'm going to recognize it and return it to you. Let's pray. Father, in this moment of our journey as humans, as people who were created in the image and likeness of God, we're remembering, some of us, that moment when we first had knowledge of you, some understanding, some. Maybe it wasn't a church, maybe it was near the ocean, maybe it was at school, in our bedroom, some knowledge that there is more to this life and it's not just what's seen. And Lord, as we are getting to know you, Lord God, we pray that we would have a much closer and clearer understanding of who you are, all that you are, all that you do, what you can do for me in the future. And also, Lord, we'll walk away from this experience today saying, Lord, we really want to serve you in return. And so, God, for anyone here who needs to turn and look toward you, Lord, this is a moment of just saying, I recognize you, God. And I turn in my mind towards you and I open up the possibility that maybe there's a relationship here that is worth pursuing. You are known to be trustworthy and kind and loving and all these attributes and experiences we've put on this graffiti wall today. And Lord, for some of us, we do know you, but it's that moment of just saying, I'm going to let you in. You've done so much for me. How can I not love you? You are so warm-hearted. You are so kind. You have my best in mind all the time. Even when I mess up, you say, you know what? I died for that. It's forgiven. In fact, sometimes you say, I don't remember that. You confess that and it's gone. And so, Lord, we pray that we would indeed have fire for loving you, that we would be on fire, that we would, if necessary, fall again in love with you. And right now in your heart, just honestly say whatever it is to God that you need to say. If you need to take a step closer to him, if you need to just say, God, help me soften my heart. Help me experience you in this week. Father, thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace, your mercy, your kindness. And even though we don't understand all your dealings, we know that you are a good, a kind, and a loving God. In the awesome name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Next week, I'm going to take you deeper into this movie series that I've created that is really good. And we'll talk about how important it is to be a listener. God bless you. Have a stunning week.